The What Do You Know Radio Hour is produced by Adam Friedrich. Our technical director is Brittany True. The show is engineered by Tom Blaine, Aubrey Ralph, and Brad Kohlberg. Thanks for joining us, and don't miss next week's edition of the What Do You Know Radio Hour.
PRI, Public Radio International.
Support comes from Siena on the Lake, a faith-based, not-for-profit, continuing choice living community under construction on Lake Michigan near Wind Point, serving southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois, offering independent apartments plus a continuum of care. More at siennaonthelake.org.
Support for classical music programming on WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus Funeral Home and Cremation Services, serving the community since 1931, where every detail counts and every memory matters. Piasecki Althaus, a proud supporter of WGTD HD.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the medical benefits of a plant-based diet will be explored in a free forum Saturday, February 8th at 2 p.m. at Soul Delicious Cafe. Presenting will be Kenosha cardiologist Kevin Fullen. Soul Delicious is in Kenosha on 52nd Street.
I have often walked down this street before, but the pavement always stays beneath my feet before.
24/7 jazz on WGTD HD2. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more, airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial
564-3030.
You're listening to WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. This is Technology Matters, a show for the casual and non-professional computer and gadget user, which airs on the second Saturday of the month. The show is hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazzaro, an experienced computer and high-tech gadget user. As new gadgets, computers, and other high-tech products hit the marketplace, for many of us, it all becomes a blur. Here on Technology Matters, Christine Lazzaro wants to cut through all the hype and give you the real scoop on those new products. Here's Christine with today's program.
Good morning, everyone. It's Christine.
And Dave.
And how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. So we were kind of chit-chatting a little bit before we started the show to talk about what we were going to talk about today. And let's start out with CES. And neither one of us went this year for lots of different reasons. But we both, you know, researched it afterwards. And I don't know about you, Dave, but I'm kind of glad that we didn't go.
Yeah, it seems the emerging trend is it's become very generalized, and the companies that are going to release the bigger products from bigger companies are mostly doing their own shows.
Yeah.
So it's becoming interesting.
Yes, definitely, definitely. You know, now, that's not to say there wasn't plenty to see. It's just that our focus tends to be more in the computer and gaming industry, you know, and the areas that really were, I don't know, exciting, if you will, or tended to get a little bit more press was the areas of automotive, TV, and I think the smart appliances were continuing to blossom, so to speak.
Key or the buzzword at CES this year seemed to really be wearable technology. So like watches or watch type accessories that link up your smartphone for various stuff, mostly like fitness things, things like that, and more and more car stuff. But really wasn't like the big thing that everyone jumped on or looked really good. It's just little things here and there.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah.
The one thing I've noticed is 3D TVs have finally started to die off.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But now these curved TVs are popping up, but really defeat the purpose of, like, the better flat screens. So
yeah.
Hopefully it's just another thing they're trying to push this new gimmick, but it'll just go away.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other one was obviously the HD TVs or 4D. Which one did you?
4K?
Yeah, 4K. Yeah. Which... and then I saw something about HD TVs as well, which we already have HD TVs, but you kind of combine that 4K and that HD, and it's supposed to bring in that feeling of 3D without having kind of the depth.
It's just at a higher resolution and more and bigger numbers, of course.
Yeah.
The Sony store out here does have a couple of 4K TVs running multiple things, and
mm-hmm.
went over and checked them out, and they're actually really nice, and they make a noticeable difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what we'll go for is a 4K TV.
Yeah.
I think it makes it's sensible and makes a big jump that we would want without any of the dumb gimmicks.
Yeah, and it's funny because I have an interesting, it's actually discontinued, and I haven't looked at, well, I shouldn't say discontinued, there's newer models out there. I have a Samsung TV down in our family room, and I, you know, both my Dave and I have both admitted that watching TV, it is very, the picture quality is just incredible, and it does have a look of 3D. I also equate it to, it looks live.
Allison's father called it surreal when
yeah.
he got a very high-end Sony TV the last year, and I think that really is the best way to put it, because even like older films, like black and white films, because they're running at a higher refresh rate,
mm-hmm.
And higher frames per second, it's different than you're used to seeing them, and it just things look different but better and a lot more lifelike.
Yeah, that's just it. Like you're watching a live broadcast, almost like old videotape, but high quality video,
mm-hmm.
old video, you know. So I think, you know, that's kind of that wave, you know, that depthiness of 3D. Sure, it's kind of fun in a movie theater when, you know, things are coming at you and, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, God, it's going to, you know, it's going to hit me and everything. That's kind of fun. But I think it's more interesting or exciting in that big venue, and most of us don't have big venues.
Yeah, and that's a real look that people aren't used to, is just a higher frames per second. And one thing that's kind of weird is when you watch a movie on the big screen, it actually runs at a lower frames per second than your TV or these newer TVs, and only recently have some movies gone away from that, like the first Hobbit
mm-hmm.
was shot and displayed at a higher frames per second than most movies. So it would look different. That's why, movies play at 42 frames per second, and some movies like The Hobbit are actually at 48 frames per second. So you get a very different feel and look to it when you're watching it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if going to your local Best Buy is going to give you that incredible feeling underneath all the fluorescent lights. I'm not sure, you know. I'm just,
yeah.
I mean, will you get that same, you know, because, you know, a lot of us set up our TV rooms kind of underlit, so to speak.
Well, and we talked before about what is the best TV for your living space, because where you sit in relation to where your TV is going to be is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I personally watch TV lights off, but do different ways.
Sure, sure.
But speaking on Best Buy, which I think is its own thing, did you catch Radio Shack's ad in the Super Bowl?
I did. I thought it was very interesting.
I thought it was very clever,
yes.
But I'm wondering how long they're going to last, because Best Buy right now is kind of already known as the Amazon display,
mm-hmm.
but I think Radio Shack's trying to go that same route, but can we even support a smaller Best Buy when Best Buy itself is struggling?
Well, good question. And, you know, I look at, like, my own consumer usage of you know, Radio Shack tends to be when I need that cable in a hurry and I don't want to travel, you know, 5-10 miles down the road to the Best Buy, the Radio Shack is right around the corner.
Yeah, and then we have things like Amazon, which you can get in a couple of days for really cheap.
Yeah.
And then, especially for all our Kenosha Racine listeners, because Amazon is building a distribution center in Kenosha, so that means you can get things overnight for ridiculously cheap.
And speaking of Amazon, I did read a little article that Amazon is contemplating doing a brick-and-mortar kind of a delivery place so that you could literally, if you have an Amazon in your town, so to speak, you could go there and pick things up immediately.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, that'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
If you live near one of those, I think that would save them an overall cost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it's mostly for the bigger places.
Yeah.
They're also... They did their big PR stunt about how they're looking at using drones to deliver packages. It's cute and fun, but I don't think will happen.
No.
But we'll see.
You'll get some crazy, you know, crazy person out there trying to, you know, shoot it down with their BB gun or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a couple of interesting stories that were out there, especially for you being your, you know, as I always used to like to tease you, your Apple fanboy. Did you see the story about the iTunes update?
I did not see that one, no.
The latest update, 11.1.14, if you haven't applied it yet, don't apply it if you're a Windows user, because it does tend to break Windows.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, so, and this was really recently. It was released, like, late, towards the end of January, and basically what happens is there's a lot of, it corrupts a lot of registry entries, and so Windows tends to crash, and then recovering from it is even more complex than normal. A system restore may or may not fix it, but what a lot of people have had to resort to is uninstalling every single piece of Apple software that is on their Windows computer, not just the iTunes, but they have to go in and remove Bonjour. They have to remove, all those different pieces that come with Apple's with iTunes. And so many people use iTunes because so many people have iPods.
Yeah, and iPhones
iTouches
and all kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, Apple even released a knowledge base on it because it was so bad.
Wow, you never know these days, just make sure you back up everything because
something strange
like that can happen.
Yeah, yeah. And what's I think really the other interesting piece on this, so you have to remove iTunes, Apple Software Update, Apple Mobile Device Support, Bonjour, Apple Application Support. You have to uninstall all of it. Anything that says Apple on it, you have to uninstall it and then download a fresh copy and reinstall them. You can, if your machine locks up, you can boot it into safe mode, which, you know, many of us know how to do that in, you know, the older ones, but with Windows 8 and 8.1, booting into safe mode is not as easy as it used to be.
Yeah, I don't even know how to get into Windows 8, but I also haven't touched Windows 8.
I actually am becoming quite comfortable with it. I just got a new tablet, and it runs 8.1, and I do love it, you know, the tablet. Mm. But, 8.1 is a little fun to work with, and I mean that sarcastically.
Yeah. Well, I read that in one of the Windows updates, they'll just by default put you to the Windows desktop theme rather than going to their new Metro UI. I think that will help, but I'm not seeing any performance increases that makes me go out and spend $300 for a new operating system right now.
Really? And see, I have. I've noticed, you know, quite a few. Windows 8 boots up a lot faster because I upgraded my Windows 7 machine to Windows 8, and it definitely boots a lot faster. And memory usage, not that I, you know, particularly care because I've got quite a bit of memory on that particular desktop. Memory usage is also decreased on the operating system side. I have to say that don't be in a hurry to upgrade, because there were some things that, you know, definitely became a little bit problematic that I had to work around. But once I've worked around them, I don't have any real issues. Except for one thing that is driving me crazy that I haven't been able to fix yet, and that's that Windows 8 wants you to concentrate on the, for playing music, if you like the Windows music, like Windows Media Player and all that, it wants you to concentrate on using the Music Metro app, and the Music Metro app does not read music from a network storage.
Really?
Yeah. So your library, it will not read, it will not recognize a network storage without jumping through a lot of hoops. It won't recognize it as a music library.
Can you use folder redirection to kind of fool it?
Well, that's kind of what you have to do. You have map a drive to that, and then, but it has more to do with the indexing of music, and so that's the one area that, you know, is frustrating, is, you know, with that library and with music. And I think part of it is because they just want you to use their cloud services for your music.
Yeah. Well, the reason I haven't jumped on the bandwagon for Windows 8, or lack of bandwagon, is that for every operating system since XP, it seems to be the best way is to wait until the first or second service pack edition.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
Same thing with Windows 7 and everything really. It's just after it's been on for a while, fix a lot of issues.
Yeah.
They get that second edition out.
Yeah.
Then it's worth looking at. But
yeah. Yeah.
Right now, I'll wait.
You know, and there is, you know, so there is a huge one coming, and it's expected around March-ish. And some of the things that are being discussed with it, one of them is being able to install it to boot directly. So right now with 8.1, there is a setting where you can have it go straight to the desktop, but it's a setting after you do the install. With the new service pack that they're talking about, you can install it to where when you install it, and it automatically goes to the desktop. So it skips the whole Metro UI completely. So that's one of the new changes. They're also talking about bringing in the traditional start button back, which
nice.
So that's the 8.1 update one. I think that's going to be an interesting thing because in some respects what it's going to do is it's going to have people not even go to the whole Windows 8 Metro thing at all and still stay with their desktop, which if you look at Windows 8 on the desktop, it's still Windows 7, except the start button is missing. You know, they did change they kind of put in a new start button that if you right-click on it, you get a lot of that functionality that you're used to with the start button. You still don't necessarily get a program list, so to speak, which throws a lot of people that aren't used to that kind of thing. So, you know, sometimes when you install an app, and if it's a desktop app, you don't get any kind of an icon or anything. And so you have to figure out, well, how do I start this? I installed it. Where is it? Well, just go back to your Metro UI and go to all of your apps, and it'll be there. And then if you right-click on it, on that icon, you can pin it to your taskbar or pin it to the start menu. So there still is a start menu, per se.
But you have jumped through a lot of hoops. It was really designed for phone type things and tablets, and I think they got tunnel vision. And then because if you look at a computer and all the programs you have a computer, it's not really feasible to do something like that. It's just it's more of a headache than anything else. So I'm looking forward to them correcting that.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or you can just be like me and embrace it. And I embraced it in all its forms. Tablet and not phone yet. I'm still using my Android phone because I'm waiting for KitKat. And once KitKat comes, then I'll see.
And I'll just grab the next iPhone 6 as long as it's an actual upgrade.
Oh, speaking of your Apple, so here's another interesting Apple story. Apple has a iPen patent out there, and it's they're touting it as a super smart stylus.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm sorry. Anytime I think of a stylus, I want to go grab my BlackBerry I don't have.
I just think it's funny because Steve Jobs said, there'll never be a stylus. You don't need a stylus. You've got your 10 fingers. And now,
yep.
You know, and now Apple is, you know, he must be rolling over in his grave.
They also just patent things to patent them and
yeah.
Sell them.
Yeah.
I have seen some rumors of an iWatch, which could be pretty handy.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back and I kind of would like a device where I don't have all the clutter on my phone, just have a few things.
Sure.
It really depends how they do it, how much it is, and what you can actually do with it, but that also could be interesting.
Yeah. Well, this does sound interesting because, number one, it's modular, so you can add on the functionality, but supposedly with the expansion modules, it will have the capability of having a camera, an audio recorder, a gyroscope, an accelerometer, a laser pointer, a projector, all in a pin device.
That thing sounds like it's going to cost more than my car.
Doesn't it just sound? I mean, you know, on paper it sounds really great, but as you said, it could be. You know, it could be extremely expensive.
It's how big, is there any diagram of how big that should be? Because that sounds, I don't know.
The expansion part of it with those different functions is different tops. So you have all of these different tops. And then, so if you want the projector, you just pull the top off and you put the projector top on. You want the laser printer, you pull the top off and you put the laser printer. Laser pointer. You put it on. That's why I said it's modular and expandable. You know, it is not round. It's more kind of like triangular in shape to facilitate that. It can connect wirelessly to an iOS device or a computer. So you could have your iPad you could have your laptop there and then project what's on the screen using your pen.
We'll see. I mean, anytime, as much as I enjoy my iPhone, anytime someone says Apple and modular, I discount it right away. It's not something they've been doing forever, and it's one of the good things that kind of sets them apart because they put out one product and like says, here you go. This is everything you need.
And kind of stick with that.
Can't buy anymore.
Yeah, yeah. What else did you see from CES?
I've been seeing more and more support and display of what is called Oculus Rift. What is? It's basically just a VR-style display. It's kind of like ski goggles with a two LED panels in front of it. It's becoming affordable. I mean, the developing kit, which really isn't meant for commercial sale, is only $300. The thing I'm liking about it is it's becoming more and more like the unofficial standard for VR technology right now. So a lot of games are getting Oculus support. There's a lot of cool games out there. People are doing different things with it because not only does it display an image right in front of your eyes, it also tracks your head movements in different ways. So it's becoming pretty cool. It's a realistic technology. You can get it. It's working. It doesn't look too bulky. So I'm looking forward to seeing more to do with it.
Sure, sure. You know, kind of reminiscent of when we were there, and wasn't it Sony that had their little, you know, 3D head personal headgear things, but you had to hold it because they had no way of, you know, attaching it to your head, so to speak, but it was, you know, 3D screens right in front of your eyes. I really loved those.
I think, yeah, Sony was touting it for a personal cinema experience.
Yeah.
I think it was more like a, when you're on the plane and you're bored, you can put this on and watch movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are becoming more and more realistic, mm-hmm. and with better technology, better displays.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Oculus Rift is something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. There's definitely mm-hmm. funny YouTube videos out there of it.
Yeah, definitely. And we were talking also about the Steam, the new Steam initiative. I don't know what to, you know.
Yeah, Steam launched what is called their Steam Box, because mm-hmm. They're trying to push a pre-built computer as a console alternative. It's a really cool idea. They came out with their own version of Linux for it, and then they have different companies making different versions of a Steam Box,
mm-hmm.
but really they're just slightly overpriced pre-built computers at this point. There's really not any competitive pricing. It's really not marketed for people in general. It's very particular against for people who have a very big or expensive home media center and they want to hook up a computer to it but don't want to hook up a computer. So it's a very niche market.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
fun to see them doing something.
But it is very small, and
well, not necessarily. I mean, there are different models, anything from the size of a HTPC or something like a cereal box all the way up to a normal computer.
Yeah, yeah. And essentially it's to play your Steam games on your big screen TV. And the game controller I thought was interesting because it is a regular game controller.
Well, it's kind of regular. It doesn't have buttons that we're used to. It has two trackpads for each thumb,
mm-hmm.
and then it has a multi-button, I think it's like four buttons in the middle of it that you can use, and two trigger buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's definitely different, and having options is good.
Yeah, and you know, there's tons and tons of games on Steam, and keeps getting more and more. In fact, I just bought my Dave game that was a Steam game, and you know, it comes back to, you know, what we've talked about before with the delivery of games, you know, between Steam and Origin. You know, they've mm-hmm. got some of the, you know, more popular games, if you will, that aren't already online oriented, you know.
Most of the games come out on Steam.
Yeah.
It's come to a point that if your game isn't on Steam or Origin,
mm-hmm.
you will actually notice a dip in sales. So most people use Steam these days. It's pretty de facto at this point.
It's an awesome delivery method.
Uh-huh.
I mean, seriously, because, you know, and it also kind of, in some respects, cuts down, I think, a little on piracy, because even though you can install it on multiple computers, it's not as easy to run it on multiple computers simultaneously.
Yeah, you can via sharing, but yeah, it's nice to have all your games are linked to your one account.
Mm-hmm,
they're not linked
mm-hmm,
to a computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so if you get a new computer, easy enough to install it. If you have mm-hmm. multiple computers, easy enough to install it on those multiple computers and
exactly.
play it. So this is my last story. Facebook is turning 10 today.
Wow.
Or, well, not today, but, you know, this year. So, 10 years old. Can you imagine?
I've become, I don't want to say dependent, but it's become a very good tool for various things, like creating events for friends.
Yes.
It's like, who's coming, where is it?
Yeah.
It that becomes a lot easier than playing phone tag for a week.
Absolutely, positively. Getting messages out. I noticed you've been getting, you know, trying to, you know, rally up the crowd, so to speak, with your little, I shouldn't say little, because it's actually very important, your Airsoft initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm wishing you lots and lots of luck on fighting that.
We'll see if that goes. That's a completely different show we can cover at that point.
Definitely. And by next show, we'll have some outcomes, yes?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Past the Senate over here, and it should be going to the governor soon.
Yeah. And so if...